Topics: civics, civil rights, climate change, existentialism, history, human rights. There is a high price for willful ignorance. The above is Dr. Carl Sagan, an astrophysicist, 5 years fresh off of the success of the original Cosmos series. He's speaking about mitigating the effects of greenhouse gases, what is now referred to as global warming, in 1985. The administration was Reagan and Bush I in the first year of their lame duck, a little before the Iran-Contra scandal. This address to Congress is 36 years before COP26, which, because the rich European and wealthy nations have refused to pay climate reparations, we are whistling in the dark towards a climate tipping point that we will not be able to escape by penis rockets, virtual reality, or opiates. The mitigation ideas he suggested weren't that radical and could have been put in place before our current crisis of once-in-a-century storms on almost a monthly basis. Take, for example, Washington State's flooding. Each occurrence of the day after tomorrow is met with a collective, societal shrug, as distractions are more alluring than impending disasters, unless it directly affects us and interrupts our current video streaming or Orwellian reality TV. We elected a narcissist in 2016 because we are a nation of narcissists. After a century of wielding extraordinary economic and political power, America's petroleum giants face a reckoning for driving the greatest existential threat of our lifetimes. An unprecedented wave of lawsuits, filed by cities and states across the U.S., aims to hold the oil and gas industry to account for the environmental devastation caused by fossil fuels, and cover up what they knew along the way. Coastal cities struggling to keep rising sea levels at bay, Midwestern states watching mega rains destroy crops and homes, and fishing communities losing catches to warming waters, are now demanding the oil conglomerates pay damages and take urgent action to reduce further harm from burning fossil fuels. Big oil and gas kept a dirty secret for decades. Now they may pay the price. Chris McGreal, The Guardian. I read the print version of O is for Oligarchy in the Austin Chronicle in 2010. Prescient, as the consensus wouldn't be reported in Business Insider, originally in The Telegraph by Zachary Davis Bourne, until 2014. To be fair, Vox published a rebuttal to the oligarchy thesis 2 years later. Our collective experience belies the rebuke. Our performance during this pandemic points to a system that is sluggish to the masses of people that funds its tax base, and lightning fast for the 400 families in the U.S. to get their needs met in whatever legislation they want to be pushed, and whatever new tax break they wish to receive. Critical thinking isn't encouraged. Tribal us versus them has been used to divide the masses since the founding of the Republic, whether Native Americans, kidnapped Africans, women, LGBT, immigrants, genteel wink and not racism cum critical race theory. It is a con, passed down from father to scion, reinforced by exclusive gatherings at Bilderberg, the Bohemian Club, and Trilateral Commission. These were once the fodder of myth and conspiracy theories, but they actually have websites. I doubt if they're discussing supporting the spread of democratic ideals across the globe. More likely, how to maintain the gaslighting of disdained, bewildered herds of humanity and to continue to line their pockets. They are, unfortunately, in an Ayn Rand Atlas Shrugged fountainhead Elysium of their own minds. A utopia of their zip codes, blithely unaware that, as the poet John Donne stated, they are not gods, but each is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. As Dr. Carl Sagan pointed out to a young Senator Al Gore in 1985, before he rendered his concerns in PowerPoint slides to Nobel laureate and an Oscar for the related documentary An Inconvenient Truth, and the aptly named An Inconvenient Sequel, Truth to Power, pushing the problem off to future generations isn't just intellectually lazy, it has in it a perverse and sadistic callousness. Eat, drink, and be merry now, Epicurus, for indeed tomorrow we may die. However, tomorrow should not be one of the casualties in the pursuit of callous, temporal pleasures. For the lack of starships and despite exclusive cul-de-sacs, scions and serfs cohabit terra firma. I have one burning question. How well can billions spend on a dystopian planet?